Mr. Auditor.
Hi, this is board time Wednesday, the 30th of July at 2 o'clock.
Is he doing okay?
So we start the recording.
Two people witnesses signature. He makes any kind of mark, and then two people witness that sign that they witnessed the signature.
Okay.
And there's a place in the affidavit envelope for two people to sign that they witnessed it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do that before the fifth. We get it back to you.
Great.
Okay. We're
ready.
A thin agenda today. First item is minutes from 9 July and 16 July. Mm-hmm. Any comments on those or motion?
On the 9 July, we had a question that we were going to go back and look at the Washougal green light on that. Jennifer came back to me and said, I can't find that, where we actually made some decisive decision to support the Washougal's request for the 9 of July.
You gave approval of the waivers, provided we communicated with law enforcement.
Yeah.
That's how I remember it.
That's how I remember it, too. But I'll
replay those minutes myself.
Okay, good. Because we want to make sure that we accurately reflect the conversations in the historical. We don't change anything.
So
I'm good. So in other words, do you want to do that before we move to approve it?
We could make a motion upon approval.
You've already approved the 9 and the 16 July minutes.
Oh, we did.
Subject to that amendment. So I just
last meeting.
Yeah. So that amendment will take place.
Okay.
So we're looking for approval of last week's minutes.
Oh.
23 July.
Oh. You got a copy? Can I take a look?
No, it was in your packet. We gave it to Anna.
Have you guys found it, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did their homework.
I read them.
Oh.
I read them.
You want to make a motion?
Sure, I'll make a motion. We approve the minutes of the last meeting.
If Ed says they're accurate, I believe him. I'll second that motion.
Okay, good enough.
And here, moving forward here, respond to WASAC through a phone call and letter and direct the lobbyist to the lobby the county's vision directly to convey legislature's position. And we're following up with this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, we're going to probably talk about that today.
Yeah, find out what's been done since last week.
What's been done, what's been said, what have we learned.
Okay, and I'm good. You going to vote on it?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Minutes have been approved.
Okay, second item on the agenda, our fine county auditor called me late yesterday and asked for a bit of time to talk about a legislative issue and the issuance of quick title. So, Mr. Kinsey?
Well, thank you. I wasn't expecting to get on the agenda like the next day. But
he calls me the get her done guy. So.
That's right.
Well, thank you. So I'll try to make this as brief as possible, but it needs a little bit of background. So this has to do with obtaining a paper title to a vehicle or a vessel. And so it used to be that if you had lost your title, you would make application to the state, and they would process it, and 3 or 4 weeks later, you would get that in the mail. Then about, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, Department of Licensing instituted this thing they called quick titles. And it was, so if you, under certain circumstances, you could come into, if an agent of a county agreed to do this, agreed to offer this service, you could come into a office for specified reasons. You could walk out of there with a paper title. You didn't have to wait the 3 to 6 weeks.
It doesn't make any difference what it was, car, well, truck?
No, not a car, truck. You just had, I think there were some specific reasons why you could avail yourself of that service.
Okay.
And then we did that for, we were the first county on this side of the mountains to offer that service. And we said, you know, we're doing a lot of work here for no additional money. And so I actually went to the legislature, went through the Auditor Association and said, you know, what about if we had a $25 fee for this additional service or people are availing themselves of? That ended up through the legislative process, bless their little hearts and minds, with all the wisdom that's resident in the state legislature, with a $50 fee.
Yeah, right.
$25, and then again, with all the wisdom up there, $25 to the Department of Licensing and $25 to the county. So right now, if you can, if you go do a quick title transaction with the agent across the street over here, you'll pay $50. $25 goes to the Department of Licensing, $25 goes to the county. The next step in this story is that last legislative session, a law was passed that allows quick titles to be issued for anything. There's no longer any restrictions. And also, it allows sub-agents to issue quick titles. So now you can go into the sub-agent on 132nd Avenue or Salmon Creek, and you can get your quick title. But there is no provision for, and you would pay $50. You, the citizen, would pay $50. But the sub-agent doesn't get any of that $50. So if you went into the sub-agent, you would pay the normal $12, I think it is, fee for the sub-agent. You would pay the $50, but all the $50, the $25 would go to DOL, $25 would go to...
So why would the sub-agent do that?
Well, that's a good question.
They're doing really good with all the other stuff.
It's about customer service, because they can get the $12 from doing that. And
additional, they have an option?
Well, so anytime a citizen goes into a subagent for a title transaction, on top of whatever other fees they might pay, they're going to pay a subagent fee of, I think it's $12.
Is that defined by the state?
Yeah, that's by the state, and that's always been in effect.
So it used to be $3.
That's for a license tab renewal. Used to be $3.
So not for a title transaction.
Yeah, we're talking about titles.
Title transaction.
I think for a license tab renewal.
Lost title.
For a license tab, I think the subagent fee is $5 or $7. Well,
yours
or
is $3.
Well, no. So
for tabs.
Okay, you guys are chewing into my time here now, right? But
gave you more time.
Okay, you have the power to do that. The $3 is paid no matter where it goes. So whether you go to a subagent or an agent, the $3 is paid to the subagent, and the county still gets the money. That's why we, as an agent, we support our subagents. We want them to be as successful as possible, because we, the county, get the same amount of money whether the transaction is done in our office by our staff or by the subagent at their office with their staff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but this $50 quick title fee is back to that. So the subagent does the quick title transaction. Citizen pays the $12 fee that they would always pay for any subagent title work, but they don't pay they pay the $50, but of the $50, the subagent doesn't get any additional money out of that $50. So, and it just strikes me, just like my original argument four or five years ago when this quick title fee was put in place, citizens are availing themselves of an additional service. We are doing additional work, and it seems reasonable that there'd be an additional fee for that. And then, in my view, those fees should be allocated on some kind of equitable basis. And in my view, if the subagents are doing this additional work for the quick title, they should get some of that quick title fee. And so what I proposed, and has been accepted and is moving forward, is that of the $50, $25 would go to the Department of Licensing, $12.50 retained by the subagent, $12.50 retained by the agent. Now you might ask me, well, Greg, this is all kind of really a bunch of minutia. Why are you bringing this to our attention?
I'd rather ask a different question.
Well, that question first, then. You might hear, well, that Kimsey is taking money away from counties. That's going to really hurt the county general fund. And I would argue that, whether or not it takes money away from the general fund, it's the equitable thing to do, to give these private business owners some additional compensation for the additional work that they're doing to provide additional service to citizens. But secondly, I think what you'll find, and it has been demonstrated already, these subagents, the availability of these quick titles at subagents will just increase the total amount of quick titles that are being transacted.
Mm-hmm.
So. Are they taking that work away from you guys then, going out to the quick title place in order to do it? Now they're coming into you guys because they don't want to, they give you the full money. So if you start doing it, the subagents is closer to their house, closer to their business, so they're going to do it. So you're going to lose business, they're going to gain business.
Well,
which is about the same.
Yeah, or it could be. That's one scenario. Another scenario is somebody who has been going to a subagent for years and years and years. That's just the way they do their business. They go into the Camisole Shugel subagent. They know Debbie in there, and they've been going there for 20 years. And this time I need I lost my title, and I need a title. And so where they used to maybe just go into Debbie and she would process a title and then it would show up in 6 months, three or six weeks, Debbie says, well, you know, for $50, you can walk out of here with it. And the person says, oh, okay, yeah, $50, that's great. And so that's a new $50 that wasn't in the system before. So that's why I there's some element of this that says the county won't be damaged by this. But really my strongest argument, I think, is just the equity argument that they're doing additional work. Citizens want to avail themselves of this additional service. It's additional work for the subagent. They should get some additional revenue for it.
Do we still have additional work to do on
this? Excellent question, Commissioner Mielke. So the agent's role in this, why we deserve our $1.7 million a year we get from this titling of licensing of vehicles, which of about, don't quote me on this, about $1 million of it comes from the subagents' work. Why do we get $1 million a year from what the subagents do? Why is that? And the answer is, we are responsible for training and overseeing those subagents. I'm the appointed agent by the director. I'm responsible for working to ensure there are adequate controls in those subagent offices to protect the public's resources. And basically, the short answer is try to ensure there's no fraud occurring in those subagents' offices. So that's so on these quick titles, yeah, there's a little bit of additional work that we have to do to kind of review them to make, because it's when the Department of Licensing first started this quick title, they were like, oh, we can only let a few people do this, and this, because it's such a potential for fraud. I mean, if, you know, you walk out of a subagent office with a title, well, you now own that car. And so, and in our state, there have been a number of situations where fraud has occurred. So that's our responsibility, is to work to minimize that.
So if a subagent works directly with Olympia.
Can you say that again?
The subagents work directly with Olympia.
Directly with Olympia, as do the agent, our offices. I mean, the staff over there, they will call Olympia directly on occasion with questions, as will the subagents.
All their computers, and they do their work on the computer, it's connected to Olympia.
Right, right.
So if we didn't have all these subagents, how many employees would you need in your office and how long would the wait time?
Bigger parking lot.
Yeah, let me get a little more fully responsive to Commissioner Mielke's question. But we have a lot of interactions with the subagents. We keep the inventory in our office. They come and get it from us. And inventory control is a big issue because, again, if you have a license tab, you're kind of good to go. We provide training for the subagents, their new employees, and then we meet with them monthly to kind of bring them up to speed with what's going on, both Department of Licensing and the county. We audit their work. We audit all of their work. We had a fraud. We had a bad fraud in our county about 3 years ago. And so we have instituted just a couple of additional steps to try to minimize the chances of that occurring. So to your question, the county does about 30% of all the licensing transactions in the county. Okay. So I guess triple our staffing, and that's what, if there were no subagents. If you don't know, the subagent, the partnership between the subagents, the agent, and the state is a really unique, and in my opinion, really effective method of delivering these services to citizens. I'm not aware of any other state in the country that has these private businesses that offer these titling and licensing services. And it just results, we get so many people come from Oregon or California or Colorado, say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I can go on a Saturday afternoon to get my titling work done down at the Safeway store. Yeah.
I have a question. Or should I say, can the applicant apply directly to the state and it leaves the county and the subagent out? Is that what's happening? Okay, so that's not the case.
On the renewal, they do.
No. For a quick title,
FarmTown for a quick title?
Yeah, for a quick title, you're going to go either to an agent or a subagent.
Okay, so they're either going to the county or they're going to the subagent. If they're going to the subagent, they're doing the work, but they're not getting anything for it. Right. Well, they're getting the $12, right?
Yeah.
But they're not getting anything above the $12. Right. And you're thinking that it would be more convenient for people to say, I will go to a subagent. They can choose either way now, right?
Yes.
And, but what this changes is it basically it properly compensates the subagent for an extra $12.50, which would
increase the amount of people in subagents.
Well, that's my question. Will the people know about that? Will that change their behavior so that they'll decide instead of going to the county, they'll go to the subagent instead? It sounds like this is something they probably won't discover until they end up at the subagent's office, right?
Well, it's part of the answer. The answer to that is partially embedded in what I said about why I think this will not have a negative impact on the county funds revenues, because subagents are business people. They market their services. They will, I believe, proactively inform their customers about the possibility of this service. And so, yeah, some people will just wander in, not have any knowledge about this quick title. But some people will be informed by the subagent saying, hey, you know what, this is a new service that's available, and if it works for you, maybe it doesn't. Maybe you don't need it now, but maybe a year from now you'll need it. And again, you know, we want subagents to do as many of these transactions as possible. And our whole kind of business model is set up on the premise of the more we can drive business to subagents, the better off the county is. Because the county gets the same amount of money, historically, without this quick title stuff, historically, the county gets the same amount of money whether it's done in our office or in the subagent.
The only thing of it is, though, Greg, if you lose business, and I'm going to protect the workers in the county. If you lose workers to the subagents, then that means that you, at some point in time, you're going to be losing employees. The automobile dealers, the used car dealers, the people that deal like that now that deal directly with you guys will be going to those subagents, or they can start their own subagency right in the automobile dealership.
Well, you're...
And do that transaction right there at the Ford garage or down at Hannah's under the basis that you're talking.
But we still get paid the same
work. Yeah, they would be doing the work, more of them, but the county would be losing employees. These good employees that you guys just give big thank you to for 25 and 30 years of worth of work. So,
there's a couple things.
So you want to employ them whether we have work for them or not?
Well, Tom, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Well, I got to say something. You raised a couple things there. One, I got to respond to the idea of car dealers being subagents, because actually that's been an issue in the legislature for the last couple of years. And as Commissioner Milkey well knows, they're an effective interest group in Olympia. Yeah. And when you start talking about opportunity for fraud, and as a son of a used car salesman, and as a car salesman formerly myself, I can speak respectfully of the car salesman, but the opportunity for fraud is greater when you're selling a car and you also are issuing the title for fraud.
And the more people you have handling the money, the more chance you have for fraud.
But just to Commissioner Barnes, I think major point there about the impact on our staffing levels. We have had no increase in staffing of our licensing office in... I've been here 16 years, at least that long. And it's really remarkable with the additional tasks that the Department of Licensing, the legislature continues to put on us. But this additional fee that we get from the quick title stuff, we've been looking at that and thinking that, well, if we really got behind in our daily activities, if our sort of output measurements weren't satisfactory, that we could come to the commissioner and say, you know, we have this new revenue source that we could use to fund another position. Now, you know, that was our thought 3 years ago when this quick title thing started, and we haven't done that yet. But so really in contrast to your fear,
I don't have any fear. I'm just bringing up a question to you.
No, I think if anything, we are at a point where before too long we'll need another position in that office. And a lot of that has to do with oversight of the subagents, because that job is getting more challenging.
State DOL only lists your office as a quick title location.
Yeah, it's not updated yet. It's not correct yet. They need to change that.
So you went to the legislature and said, we need $25 to do this process.
Jim Mueller said, well, we need 50.
And the state got 50. So you really don't need $25 if you don't do the work. So why would you split the baby in half with the subagent instead of paying them for doing the proper work?
So
you're still going to make $10 for the work that they do.
Well, we're going to make $12.50 for the work they do. So
are you going to suggest a split of 2015?
So
he's saying give them less.
So you're saying give the subagents
less. 15.
And give us 10?
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of discussion about what is the appropriate split, that, you know, that $25.
So you asked for it for the extra work, and you're going to ask the subagent to do the same amount of work for half as much pay.
Ironically, maybe not. You may not be very surprised.
Just go back to the used car salesman thing.
The biggest challenge I've had with this issue to date has been with my fellow auditors who wanted to do exactly the reverse of what you said. They think the auditor should keep $17 and the subagent should only get $8. Yeah, and in fact,
not because they need it.
The beginning position was, oh, we're not going to give these subagents any money. We want it all. That was the first place the Auditors Association started that, and it's not been.
Well, I kind of asked the question. I just bought a license plate yesterday for one of my cars. I paid $67.50, something like that. And I keep wondering where my $30 license plate is. So it's not as if you haven't added on. We've added subagent fees. We added the new computers for the subagents.
We've added a filing fee. Wait until January 15th, Tom, when the new law that got passed this last session goes into effect.
What?
And you're going to see a
fee store more
695 again.
Well, anyway, tell us about that.
So, what's your question?
I guess I'll respond to Commissioner Medore's point there. So the legislature, again, in its wisdom, said, we think that the price you pay to get a tab renewal should be the same whether you're going to a subagent or you're going to the county. And so what we're going to do is we're going to increase the fee you pay at the agent's office to make it equal to the subagent's office, which I have spoken to every legislator in this county multiple times over the years, arguing that our current business model works really well for citizens, where if they want the additional convenience provided to them by subagents, they pay an additional fee. If they want to avoid that additional fee, they can come down to the agent's office and pay a smaller amount. But you can quote me on this, when the legislature wanted to build a new ferry, they looked around and said, where can we increase a fee with the smallest amount of negative pushback from citizens? We can, I'll be polite here, but we'll do bad things to the customer with the licensing fee, and we'll increase that fee when you go to the agent's office. And that's just one of the things that did this last session.
That was the birth of the InBev tax.
Yeah.
Everybody went to the InBev
tax. Yeah, it was
schools.
And then, how many of you are familiar with the license plate replacement? This is turning into a real tutorial on licensing.
Every 5 years or every 7 years?
Yeah, was
every
7. When they had it, needed or not.
I just got a new one from a Bronco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took my flashlight out there, and it reflects just fine.
Yeah. Well, there's a state law. I won't go into the whole giant. I've been
state patrol one.
But so there's a new law passed that says, you're not going to have to replace your plates every 7 years. You're going to have to replace your plates every time ownership of a vehicle changes. Every time the ownership of a vehicle changes.
They figured this one out.
And you won't have to pay for it when you get that new plate, but we're going to increase the fee every year.
But the other
you'll pay it in advance.
The problem with that.
It has nothing to do with the cost of providing you a new plate.
You got Tim Iman's phone number.
Tom owned the car. He put a new license on it yesterday. He sold me the car today. I go down.
And you have to go down.
Oh, by worse than that. Worse than that. Okay. Here, worse than that. Listen to this one. Listen to this one, Ed. Listen to this one. You bought a car for your daughter.
Yeah.
And you put both your names on it.
Right.
And then your daughter, you know, I can relate to this personally because this is my situation. She grows up, and you know, I think I'll get my name off that car. So go in, change, get my name off that title. That triggers a new license plate.
Wow.
You know what that is?
That's not environmentally friendly. That's not sustainable. So.
Well, you know, it's just what side you're on, you know.
Yeah, we got to keep all in prison workers working, though.
Yeah.
So my response is that I respect the independent electeds' autonomy and especially for the auditor's office. You have a great track record of making good decisions, running a very good department. And you're recommending to do this, and
no,
you know,
hasn't
whole,
yet.
You know,
I keep waiting for him to ask. He hasn't asked it yet. He beat around the bush, but you got the question, and he hasn't even asked it yet.
Where was I?
You were padding something here. Go ahead.
Well, I was saying you know about the details of this and the operations of this and how this plays out not only in our office or the county here, but also how it plays out there with the customer. And with the sub-agents. So I certainly support the direction that you're recommending.
Well, thank you.
The question is, how do we do that?
Well, you know, I think this is, you know this term, Tom. This is a good little bill.
You want to support new legislation to give you flexibility?
No, this doesn't really give us flexibility, but the sub-agents are thrilled that we came to them and said, hey, what if we give you $12.50 of this, because they were expecting that they were going to do this for zero. So they're like, you know, the primary stakeholder in this is thrilled that we're offering them a 50-50 split. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm notwithstanding your point, Tom, about what's really the real cost of this. But so really all I'm looking for, I just want to make sure you were aware of this, and that's really all I wanted to do.
Oh, I thought we were going to do something here at the county and split the baby.
Well, you already do. You get 100% of mine. You get 100% of this.
Yeah, well, we get 50% back.
No, you get 100%.
In other words, this whole, the fee, who gets what, is not a county-defined process or a specification at all. This is all RCW and WAC-specified code.
Yeah, and then what I was sort of getting to Tom about there is that, of course, all the licensing revenues come into the general fund. And so that's where I say you get the 100%. You don't split it with anybody, but...
then you split it up.
Yeah, the $1.7 million we get in, you give us back about $1 million, and thank you.
You know that profit we thought we was making from the fee holiday.
But I'd rather see
well,
you keep
it came
even
from
number
over here.
$12.50.
That $25.
Yeah, 50. The one of the maybe the most defensible part about the $12.50 is that there's a precedence for it. We already have the $50 being split 50-50 between DOL and county. So I just said, you know, okay, 50-50, 50-50. Should it really be $4.97 to the county and $19.53 to the...
It's easier to keep my checkbook when I write even numbers.
Well, we're really good at keeping the checkbook. In, so we'll take care of the 50 cents.
You're talking to an auditor. They know about
checkbooks. I know him for a long time.
So... Well, okay. There's your little tutorial on licensing stuff. I don't know if you want a copy of the bill.
So how can we help you? Is it a thing where you would be lobbying? We would be lobbying the legislature in this coming session?
I think you probably have bigger fish to fry than my little sub-agent's quick title fee bill. That'll...
Has WASAC jumped on board? Or
the auditors? Or? I don't know. Waco, it'll be a priority for Waco. I don't know about WASAC. Again, it's...
About this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So here I
well, go. I wouldn't necessarily discount WASAC because surely we're not the first one to ask them about that. They may be interested. They have to. In fact, we've got on our agenda today to talk about what they're going to advance in the next legislative session. So if this be one of those items.
Yeah, I just, you know, I feel strongly about this, and I think it's good policy.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to suggest it's like a big, giant priority for the county government.
Let's just add it to the list.
Yep.
So what is the estimated revenue from this new title fee?
You know, when they do the fiscal note on this, I'm going to try to get them to say it's not calculable. Because you don't know how many people the sub-agents will actually go out and market this to. What will be the market dynamics that drive this? I don't know. Anybody could really
But you could go to the general ledger, find the code that relates to this revenue for 2013.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that in the county for last, this is rough numbers, in 2013, I think we brought in about $150,000 from that 25-25 split. So that's a
So it might be 75, point. But if the volume goes up, we might get it right back.
Yeah.
So you must have a process.
Okay. Thank you.
A year ago, somebody found a semi-trailer that belonged to me. It just happened to show up in their backyard, and they wanted to know what to do with it. So they want me to sign off on a title. So the process that they go through here, they still won't be able to get title to my trailer unless I sign off.
Well, see, you put your finger on why we earn our $12.50. Because we earn our $12.50 by looking over the shoulders of the sub-agents to make sure, try to make sure.
I'm going to see if you're there the next time I go.
a similar thing, when Bruce broke his neck a year and a half ago, he sold his motocross trailer. He sold all of these big bikes. Sold his motocross trailer. He sold it to a guy over in Wenatchee. You give him the title. The guy lost the title. Now the guy's calling. Bruce is laying up in the hospital. He needs a lost title. So, again, does he have to go through the process where you have two people witnesses in order to be able to come down to your office to get a lost title for that trailer so they can send it over to the guy in Wenatchee?
There probably have to be some way to get it notarized.
Yeah. Notarized.
But
sounds like a cow.
If you call me or we talk and we can figure out a way to get that.
That's okay. I can't tell where it's coming
okay.
from.
Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure. We
isolated it this morning. She called somebody here.
And look to see if there's any mice up there.
Right.
Thank you.
I'm sure
thank you.
Thank you.
Bigger and better things now. Thank you for the time.
I'm glad to see that legislature is making it without me.
This is not a topic that I really want
to. You know, you have to laugh at the things he brings up. I don't even grip to me because I was part of that process. And it is a stress, trying, difficult.
Yeah, where the interest of the citizen often is not the first priority.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, certainly not this licensing stuff that hasn't been for
no,
a long time.
No, they're looking for new revenue. Yeah. You guys found it for them. For that, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're just cooking.
Fiscal Sustainability
Initiative, WASAC.
So we talked about this last week. We had gotten a request from WASAC to write a letter of support with our fellow counties for their fiscal sustainability initiative. Commissioner Medora brought up some issues about some particular areas that he had concern with the initiative. That led to a broader discussion about taking a look at those points, seeing what's in it, maybe talking to WASAC, doing some more research before we take an actual action. I think we've done some of that. I don't know if we've done all of it that we want to or not, but it was on last week, so it's on this week for kind of some direction, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Everybody get a copy of it? I just went through items one through, actually, there's multiple that repeats here on the next page, and say a yes and a no on each one. I got a yes on everything except some. And I thought maybe I'd be very supportive of all the yeses and see if we're all on the same ground.
What's this one?
This is what you got here, tier one. I should have made enough copies for everybody. I'll be right back.
Okay.
But I have some concern because I see the maneuver that's going on, and I'm quite surprised that the WASAC is part of it. They put it together as a package, so nothing's jumps out at us. And one of the things that jumps out at us is the 30% increase in property taxes, or what could be. And that is what if during the worst of times, our property tax or the CPI was like 1.5%,
mm-hmm.
they wanted to attach property tax instead of 1%, they want to attach it to the CPI. They don't know if it's going to be Seattle, the state, the region, or the district. So it's kind of loose. and to walk into Olympia or something like that is very scary. I said, well, why did, if you want more money, you just take it to the people for a vote. He says, well, that's our backup plan, is that we would take it to a vote. The legislature would take it to a vote of the people as a backup plan, but not first plan. First plan, they just want to do it without a vote of the people. And then to cover his bases there, he says, well, it's optional. You don't have to go as high as the CPI of whatever area they get it from. It's optional. So those people who don't want to ask the people for a tax increase now could just automatically increase their taxes. That's what it is. And that's just one of the agendas.
But if the CPI goes down, then it goes down.
The lowest time during the recession was 1.5%. That means instead of paying 1% increase in your taxes, you're getting a 30% increase during the Depression.
And what would they use the money for, Tom?
They have no idea. They just want more money. It's her party.
But there's got to be a reason for wanting more money. Is it for transportation?
They want more, no, it's got property tax.
I understand that. But where does the property tax money go?
I guess that could be another problem number two. The first problem is that if they want more money today, they can go to a board of the people to increase that.
Well, then David always says, vote of the people. You guys are floating a boat right now.
Well, actually, I think what we're talking about is item number three on page one, where it says property tax 1%.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And right now, the way the law is set up, if I understand it correctly, is that the county commissioners can raise the property tax above 1% if they go to the people and the people vote to say, yep, we will.
Right.
So we already have that. The vote of the people is already provided for.
Right.
But Rossack's position, this is where I have a no on that, is that they want to limit the 1%, or they want to remove the 1% cap that would allow us to be able to raise the property taxes above 1% without a vote of the people. And that's where I think, instead of taking this whole thing as a package, that we would respond, that we would support, just break these down item by item and support with, and say which ones we support and which ones we don't. And that would be one that I certainly don't. So if we look at, go ahead.
I think that I don't like it when they put it together as a one item, sustainability, because you just expressed yourself. We could agree with maybe half of them, but not the other half. We're adamantly opposed. I'm just using it for an example. I don't know. So I just have a problem with them doing that. It kind of reminds me of legislation that goes on in Washington, D.C. when veterans was a good example. They wanted to give more money to the veterans, but then everybody Christmas treed onto the bill, and they would have more stuff on the Christmas tree than they had going to the veteran.
Well, wouldn't this be cheaper, David, to be handled since you have a rep that the county hires that was in here and met with us not very long ago? If the commissioner said to that individual that we want you to either support this issue, this issue, this issue, mm-hmm. not worry about sending anything back. Anybody, you direct the representative for the county that you hire to.
Yes and no. In other words, they're two separate things. They're asking us now individually to respond to them, and so we would give them a response now. But also, when the legislative session comes, in anticipation of the legislative session, we would do exactly what you suggest there, our lobbyists.
But would you be tying the hands, if you put something down in writing in black and white, would you be then tying the hands of your lobbyist that maybe he would have some room to negotiate something that would be either better for the county than
We have a conversation with him on a regular basis on anything before he takes a position anyway. So I would think, what are they asking for? Are they asking for us to send a letter right away or what?
They had just asked, I think, counties to send either a letter or pass a resolution supporting the fiscal sustainability initiative before the session to show collective support for it. We could do a number of things. We could do nothing. we could support strongly the ones that we really are passionate about with a resolution or a letter. We could write a letter that says we support these pieces and we don't support these pieces. We can do any of those things.
You used the term fiscal sustainability initiative. There's nothing in this letter that uses the word initiative. It says fiscal sustainability ideas, and it lists them all separately, individually numbered. So to me, this is not a package. These are individual ideas, and I would think that we would break them down and state our position on each one.
Yeah, I think this is a document that Josh provided because it's very simple and clear. I do think that they have a more comprehensive document somewhere that they call an initiative. I can confirm that.
Yeah.
But I think you're right, Commissioner Doyle. I think we can go through these
each
individually and support the ones that we support.
And I think that WASAC is a very well-organized representative lobbying force to the legislature, and they are going to lobby for something using our resources. We are paying them substantial funds. Was it $50,000 or more per year, Mark?
Thereabouts, yeah.
And so they're going to use our funds to lobby something. I would think that we would inform them as to what we are in support of using those funds and what we are not in support of using those funds, and we would do so on an item-by-item basis.
Well, could I ask you a question to the chairman? Since we just got this paper just handed to me, again, do we have
time to do homework?
I'd like to have time to look this over next week.
I will always support the idea for somebody doing their homework. So there's not a rush to this.
He didn't get a day, did he?
No, he
sure.
Didn't.
Sure.
Kind of reminds you of C-Tran. Yeah.
Commissioner Barnes, you want to do your homework on this, take your time.
Barnes.
You have. I encourage that.
I'm asking the other two commissioners for
sure.
You got it.
You have it.
100% as unanimous, without regret.
Okay.
Or malice.
Are you sure?
Okay. All right.
Okay.
We'll bring this back. Is next week enough, or you need
more? We'll check with the commissioner on Monday to see how he's doing.
All right. Yeah. So no pressure. Just if you're ready, I'm ready now.
Okay.
When you're ready, we'll come together. And
yeah, this is my first.
Okay.
So we talked about a letter to WASAC. Is WASAC wanting us to respond right away?
I don't think it's a rush. Obviously, what they're trying to do is get some momentum built and get all the counties kind of on board and be able to show their support going into next session and even probably a little bit ahead of next session for getting sponsors and that kind of stuff. But
so,
I don't think there's a huge rush.
Another question is that I was surprised that I got a phone call from Spokane what actions we were considering taking. So I was wondering how they knew what we did. Are there other people you talked to about this?
Mm-mm. No, I had a conversation because I called Josh to get this. So they knew. I said, hey, the issue came
Todd
up on Wednesday.
Said,
well,
talk to
I think they talked. Yeah. I think he and I said, and I told when I asked Josh for this, I told him that Commissioner Medora was likely to call Eric to talk about it. So they knew we discussed
it.
Okay, I do have a question for you. Do they have a separate document that's called the Fiscal Sustainability Initiative?
I believe they do.
Okay, can you get a copy of that document?
Last week, during board time, I think I emailed you two versions, a short one and a long one.
Oh,
so
you're way ahead of it.
Maybe ask Anna to print those for you. But they're vague narrative documents.
Okay.
They're not.
I think they have one for each one of these topics that they have on here.
They're not as specific as this.
Yeah, and I have a little bit of a head start on this because I got to sit in on the sessions 2 days up there where these were discussed.
Well, anything
in
that
depth.
She gets back, I'd like to have copies of it.
Yeah. And why don't we do this? Why don't you send them a reply that would indicate that we're working on this and we will give them a response soon.
Shortly.
In a matter of weeks.
I think you should tell them that. But we have to come to some place where we're in agreement as a board to send them a message from the board that we have issues with maybe some of their positions.
Well, I work with Josh and a lot of times Eric throughout the session for the last 3 years and even before that. So, I mean, I talk to them regularly during session. That's why after the meeting last Wednesday, I called Josh and said, we need this. And, oh, by the way, the board has some concerns about the 1%. And I didn't even know the 1%. When I worked on this has been going a long time. When I worked on this, the 1%, and that was one of the questions I had for Josh, was is the 1% a new thing? Because I don't remember it. I remember talking about it with specific regard to, like, veterans and pulling that out of the levy or mental health. And so I had that conversation with him. But I told him very clearly, hey, the board's got some issues with this 1%, and you need to talk.
There's a couple others that, if you say you're for something, that means that you support the idea. And I'm looking at the marijuana one, number 4.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It says, do you support the revenue coming back to the counties? If I say yes, it means I support marijuana.
Right.
If I say no, it means I don't want the money that comes in from it.
Right.
So in some cases, if they want to talk about it, I would probably suggest, in my position, to remain neutral.
Okay.
And I think that's something we have to come back to.
I've thought about that one as well. I think what we can do is to clarify our position on it and make sure that they know we are not endorsing it and we voted not to legalize marijuana in Clark County. And that is our official position, is does not compromise that. However, if the cities within our jurisdiction, within Clark County, and they have, some have legalized that, and we will, our law enforcement, and our justice is going to have to, it will be taxed. We will have expenditures for that. So if they're going to collect it, then that needs to go for the purpose to somehow cover the costs for those jurisdictions that are inflicting that extra burden upon us. So how do you ensure that if they're going to collect it, that it goes for the right purpose without endorsing it in the first place? We have to make sure we get that wording right.
Well, the two United States senators have now asked for a complete answer out of the Attorney General's office and the President on where the United States stands on the marijuana as of yesterday.
Yeah.
So that should be coming down.
I think they asked him 3 months back, too. We're still waiting.
Well, I think that put the pressure on this time to get something done.
And that sounds, more information would be good. However, that's not how law is made in the United States. Congress makes law in the United States. And
if they do something.
Executive orders.
If they don't do anything, then the laws that are on the book remain the laws on the book. They don't become obsolete.
I have another problem with one. The other one would be the flexibility to use our permits, building permits, for long-range planning.
I say no.
I have a real issue with that. Our permits are too expensive now.
Yep.
So why would we increase the fee for long-range planning when we have impact fees and park fees and all the other fees for long-range planning?
So okay, it looks like we're doing our homework right now.
Yeah. But there's a future conversation for these.
Yeah, I think I asked Axel to put together a little grid.
I already got my yes and no.
With Noki, Medora, and Barnes on the left side, and issue 1, 2, 3, 4, and just get a yes no from you on each one.
You got to put me on the left.
Okay, I can put you on the right. So it'll be Commissioner Barnes on the left and Commissioner Murphy and Medora on the right.
By alphabetical order, then.
There you go.
Yeah, we could do that. We could just go through them yes no, and I can.
And then he can work on a product to
figure out which ones
that
we
can have you look at and revise.
Yes, that sounds great.
Okay. And I still think I don't know, Commissioner Dorr, it's up to you the value in calling Eric, but that might be worth doing just to check in if there's some of these
from a diplomacy point of view. Anyway,
just check in with him.
Although I have talked with him back in person about this, about when I was at in Chelan, Lake Chelan. But I will go ahead and call.
And some of these, there might be some other value and information he can provide that I can't. Some nuance to, this is kind of why the counties went that way or not, and that might be useful. So, anyhow, But yeah, we'll put a list together of which ones we're supportive of and which ones aren't.
And just for the record, I'm yes on almost all of these.
Okay.
I'm no on almost all of them.
Yeah, I've got a no on one, two.
So Commissioner Barnes will be the tiebreaker. So you're ceding all the power
and
to Commissioner
likes,
Barnes.
And some he doesn't.
Yeah, you like them apples.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay.
All right, Commissioner reports. There's an item on the agenda. Do you want to do that first or go around?
Yeah.
Just panhandling came up, and we just wanted to know whether the board wanted a work session on panhandling.
We had a work session on
panhandling.
Yes,
and there, so what's happened
is... But the ground has shifted somewhat.
Yeah, there's been a development. Remember, we were kind of... We pushed the pause button after the last work session because the city
lawsuit.
Of Boise, Idaho's ordinance went to federal court, and it settled out, but there was an order that the federal judge wrote that was... It was pretty specific and pretty telling as to how at least that court felt the constitutionality of each piece of the ordinance would shake out. The bottom line is Sergeant Randon Walker and Chris Horn and I got together, and Sergeant Walker had proposed re-looking at just the vehicle safety component of it. So look, if you remember our ordinance, it was pretty hardy, and it's, don't go by ATMs and at night, and don't impede people in, public places, and it was pretty broad, much like the Boise one. The court in the Boise decision actually kind of came out and said some positive things about, obviously the county does have a very serious interest in safety on streets, public roads, at interchanges and stuff. And so that part of the ordinance, Chris was comfortable enough taking to a work session and potentially putting into some draft code. And Sergeant Walker obviously was in favor of that and bringing it to you and explaining to you why he thinks it's necessary. So what we have proposed is a work session in early September to bring that shortened code to you all, which the focus of it will be is only on the panhandling on sort of the interchanges or, basically a solicitation that takes you out into the roadway and into the street and could create a safety hazard.
It's kind of gone beyond just corners now, like if on 99, they're not necessarily right at the corner.
Yeah.
They're just kind of camped. One of the things that we had in ours, it was kind of loose except for the last part. It became as to interpretation, and that was is that no matter what you do, you cannot intimidate.
Right.
Kind of the same thing that the took on open carry. So how you intimidate them. I know the other day there was one that I thought, boy, if I was a lady by myself, I could have been really, really nervous by the way the individual was acting. So I guess that's kind of our ace in the pocket.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether we still include that or not.
There is a second component that I think Sergeant Walker had drafted up that deals with the aggressive part, the great aggressive panhandling. I'm not sure where Chris is on that one. That one's a little bit, I think, and I don't want to speak for Chris. He certainly will talk to you about how he feels about this or what the county's legal position is. But I got the impression that with where the court came down, the safety in the streets and the roadways and that interaction between pedestrians and vehicles is enough of an interest for the county to have a concern about that it might pass legal muster. The aggressive, trying to define what is and isn't aggressive and, when a solicitation crosses that line, it's a little more gray and a little more difficult. I'm not saying we can't get there, and we do have a draft code that we could work on, but that one's a little harder, I think. And so I just don't know where Chris is on proposing that one. And we do have, I think there's other laws on the books, and that we get into that debate or conversation a lot as well. Isn't it just assault or, it's always easier when you do have a specific charge. We did talk about that. Hey, that's aggressive panhandling, and it's defined, and we can charge it. But, typically when you look at what aggressive panhandling is in the definition, it almost looks like another kind of a crime, which is something we heard from folks who weren't necessarily in favor of the last code change.
Do you think we need a work session or discussion in board?
Well, the three of us thought it probably would be worth a work session. You know, that's where we ended last week after we talked, but it's really up to you guys how much input you think you need.
I would suggest an alternative. It may be that we'll end up at a work session, but before we schedule a work session, I would suggest that you take the components, the content, the potential content that could end up in this ordinance, make sure we all have a copy of that, and let us look at that first and then get back. And then we'll probably have a discussion with board time once we individually look at that. I would also think that we are not the first one to address this problem, that we would make sure, Axel, that you would draw from WASAC's and NACO's resources and the city equivalents of what is the city?
Association of Cities.
Okay. All of them are a wealth of information that make sure that we have the right balance, that we don't infringe on constitutional rights of free speech or just freedom of expression, whatever, but we also have a legally defensible code or ordinance that's stood the test of time, and we're on safe ground, and so we don't want to reinvent the wheel. Have we made sure that we mined their resources?
I would say, from my perspective, yes. And you know, we took that original code, was a Pierce County code, and the reason we looked at it is because it went pretty far to where, you know, kind of, I think where Sergeant Walker and others were kind of looking at how to roll this out. The problem was that exact language was almost identical to what Boise had done and then got challenged.
Okay.
But is there other versions that maybe are short of that?
Yeah.
We could look.
So it's really good. In other words, you had a template there, you had an ordinance, and it looked really good, but that portion of it, they got challenged and did not stand up, so you just delete that part of it or modify that part of it and make sure that from the Association of Cities and Counties that we have that we are informed of the best of the choices that are out there.
And then
give that to us and let us chew on that and then come back.
I think another good idea is the sheriff, because I know down in Andreessen they serenade you. They play guitar, they play accordion.
Yeah.
I know out on 112th Street where you come off of SR 500, they guitar you and they give, in fact, the guy will give you a little slip of paper thanking you for the contribution that you made. The other one will be a man and a woman where you turn off of SR 500 and go up 39th Street towards I-5. They're playing one's playing the accordion, the other one's playing the guitar or banjo, and very thankful for what you donate to them and that. So there are occasions where people, and that happened down in Esther Short Park over a few years ago, and I think that's pretty much resolved out there. I just don't want to blanket everybody with the same thing because they're out there on the street. Maybe got their kids out there too that are looking. So maybe the sheriff could give you some kind of an idea where the aggressive people might be,
samples
might be, and where we could do that area and maybe forget these other areas. Mm-hmm. Where not so
yeah.
What was the court ruling?
It was kind of interesting because I don't, and again, I'm not an attorney, I don't believe the court had a verdict. I believe it was basically they fought their
opinion.
The ACLU filed so that the court would order an injunction on the ordinance going into effect, and that was granted, but they spelled out the reason, the court spelled out the reasons constitutionally that was granted, and it was, the writing then was on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
About most of that ordinance.
There's something to say when it's written loosely, it allows the officer to use his judgment in many cases. And in some cases where the guy is a borderline and talking back or not taking suggestions from the officer, it gives him some teeth.
Yeah.
So Wasn't there another case in Washington? Was it Yakima or Wenatchee or Pierce County that was challenged?
Was I'm not sure. You might be thinking, I know the one in Wenatchee we talked about recently was the marijuana one, but I don't know about panhandling. I'd have to look it up.
Okay.
That federal case was the biggest. It's very difficult because obviously that we live in America and standing in a public place with a sign is it's right there. It's not to say it can't be limited or restricted for some reasons, but the court really tends to err on the side of free speech, and that this is one of those places.
We also talk about traffic safety.
Yeah.
Sometimes Ed stops to give him 50 cents. So I missed the light.
Yeah.
So,
Well, there are no, I've got MRSC up here, and I'm looking at Issaquah. Very specific. Where you can do it, when you can do it, what is coercive solicitation?
Yeah.
Definitions. If you approach a person and that person believes that they might be subject to harm, that's against the rules. If you get within a foot of me, that's against the rules. If I say no and you persist, that's against the rules.
In other words, you're
very simple things.
Laying out objective things.
Yep.
That says you did exactly this. You're not really leaving it to subjective.
Well, there is one. It says to engage in conduct that would reasonably be construed as intended to compel or force a person being solicited to accede to demands. So if I'm behaving in a way that makes me think that if I don't give you money, something bad's going to happen to me, that's against the rules. But somebody has to interpret the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you use the reasonable person standard.
And only thing I would put out there too, Mark, is because I use the same. When we went through this, I used the same site. I use that
same
site
resource.
All the time.
Okay.
My point would be many of those ordinances were adopted prior to this decision.
Yeah.
And so, like
Pierce
County, for instance,
yeah.
They had that. They probably still have that ordinance on the books. It may get challenged, or they
well,
may
right.
change it.
Yeah, this is a 2007 ordinance. This is a 2008. Mm-hmm. So.
They sound reasonable. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I would say whatever we adopt, whatever we do, that maybe we put it on a card. The sheriff's department have a card, an educational card that they hand out to anybody that's panhandling. So you list the rules, 1 to 10 or 1 to 15.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
This is just what you should be not doing, or the things that you should be doing.
I don't know. You're thinking like a problem solver now.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
Be careful with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll do what you suggest.
Yeah,
we'll do
homework, share it with us individually, and then we can
talk about it again more
we'll
time.
Come back to like this. And great, thank
Roger
you.
Right.
That's all the sheriff's department educational opportunity. They can plasticize it very cheap to where it wouldn't deteriorate from them being out in the weather, sleeping in their sleeping bags or whatever.
Yeah, great.
Okay. Commissioner Rupertson.
I love those problem-solving skills. That's great.
Axel, do you have anything else?
I don't think so.
David?
I'm good.
I get more time now, Ian.
Oh, you got to go ahead first, then.
Go ahead.
I got jumped on yesterday after the commission meeting again, and I also got an email here in my hand about a rusty grape.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
what about
I heard.
Is this about the sheriff being out there, the disturbance?
Well, yeah, and it's not just them.
I saw
people
that.
Are all upset about the wineries, about the noise from the entertainment, the drinking.
Commissioner Paul Scarpelli and Marty got back to me on this. We have done, the code enforcement's to be commended, I believe, because they've been out there on a regular basis, and this was an incident.
At the same place, though? Bart?
Yeah.
No, it is. But we've had a relatively trouble-free period with Rusty Grape, and I think code enforcement has been checking their entertainment schedule. They've been proactively going out there and monitoring noise levels, and for the most part, they
give them a warning letter or whatever.
They've actually been adhering to standards, and so what happened here, I don't know.
Okay. You want to say something?
Friday night, I happened to be out. Going for a ride, getting the carbon out of one of the cars. And
I know what that means.
And I happened to drive up that road, and it's different than I thought. Also, I did receive a phone call Saturday. Oh, I must have been Saturday night. Because it was after I got my phone call from Mr. Stiverson.
Mm-hmm.
He just brought me up to speed. as to what happened here, but he also shared with me. Remember the fence incident?
Right.
They found out he had it surveyed, and he was 8 feet over on Rusty Graves' property, which was something new that neither one of them knew. But they did align it properly, and then so that I think
careful what you ask for, right?
Yeah, be careful what you ask for.
Just lost 8 feet of my lot.
Yeah, but anyway, that came out pretty good. He said it was very costly, and he bore the brunt of that. But I was shocked when I went by there. The place was packed, and it was still daylight when I went by, and they were serving food. I saw that, and they weren't supposed to serve only prepared food. Is that what it is? Because they're not allowed to be a restaurant.
Mm.
I don't know what they did with their pizza thing. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, the wood-fired pizza oven.
Remember that? I think it got laid out in the code as tiers or something. I can't remember exactly where it landed. Yeah, my memory is like tier one, but tier two, tier three, and in there was...
Because they, you know, the other gross management, they can't have a restaurant there. That was part of it. So I don't know where that is, and I also don't know where they are with requirements from Marty. Marty was working with them on each step. I don't know if they've completed them all.
Well, maybe we'll get an update. My understanding is he's pulled all the permits he needs from building and planning. Now it's upon him to finish everything that he's got permits for, and I think he's in the process of doing that.
Well, that's why Marty gave them a timeline.
Yeah, well, I think
very reasonable.
Yeah, there's a deadline in September. If they don't meet that deadline, then... we told them we're
so they're working on one thing at a time. There's several.
Yeah,
that's my understanding.
Yeah, and Michelle Bloomquist actually has retained someone to help her, so we'll see how she comes.
I didn't know
she
about
comes
that
along.
One. I was kind of jogging my memory bank today at the briefing on our transportation 6-year plan. And we were talking about 1 to 3 years on permits, environmental permits for 10th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And in the presentation that we had last Friday?
Yeah, 25th.
Last Friday, that company said, in part of their deal, that in 1 year they would have all permits necessary from... Was it 2 years? I thought, but they would be built. It would be built in 3.
I thought the permitting period was 2. The
permitting period is 2, and design and build is 3.
So it was a total of 5 years.
Yes.
I thought it was less than 5 years.
It was 5.
Okay. So what went through my mind, and a quick flash, was we've been talking about design build. You mentioned it today about design build. We talked about design build in our parks, and we didn't go with the parks this year.
The parks don't meet the dollar threshold.
Well,
they're not eligible for design build.
Yeah,
according
they would have if you lumped the two together.
Has to be $10 million.
Oh, okay.
That's the threshold.
That was my conversation before Pete left. So then I looked at this and thought, you know, if it's going to take... If they could do that all within 2 years and build it in 1 year, or 2 years, whatever they said, and they were talking about that project, I wonder if this might be one to consider. The other thing that they said that sparked my interest on that one over there, very loosely, they said that they might be interested in helping finance up to $80 million. The cost of the project on over Whipple Creek was just over $30 million. And I wonder if we shouldn't throw some thoughts out there to Heath to see what he thinks about that.
Commissioner, if I'm not mistaken, Commissioner Medora spoke with Heath immediately
Thanks
after.
Thanks a lot. That was mine.
I'm a get it done guy. You suggested it, so I shared the contact information with him.
I'm not going to tell you anything anymore.
Just helping to become successful.
So anyway, he's going to look into that.
Yes, he has her contact.
I thought that was something that was quite interesting.
Yeah.
Wanted to follow up on animal control and their computers.
Progress is being made. They've spec'd out the products they need to buy, and I believe they've been ordered.
Really?
That's so, but I'll confirm that.
My goodness. Okay.
I'll confirm that for you.
And I want to know when the youth house was moving.
Right now, I'm checking the terms of the current lease to see what kind of notification requirements okay. we have to give to terminate the lease.
Because that was brought up and never answered.
Yeah, because I've got an email to Vanessa and to Dee Dee.
They thought at one time it might have been a month by month. And I thought that was kind of strange.
Yeah, that's unusual. Typically, you lease for a set period of time, and you need to give 90 to 180 days notice before you terminate.
And then the other thing, somebody must have given this to all of us. It was on my desk.
That's scheduled
for... the county-owned assets.
Yeah, when is that scheduled for? I think it's...
It's not next Wednesday. It's the Wednesday after. It's coming up soon.
Yeah, it is.
Work session again?
Yeah it is. It's scheduled. Then we asked for permission.
And everybody has this, right?
That's the advanced copy?
Yeah.
And it looks like a draft. Did you guys get that?
Yeah, Larry Free sent it out.
Okay. It had some real neat things, some things you recognize. But one of the things that I saw in here, we would like to have a report on the Abram House.
That's not going so well.
That's really a thought.
Yeah.
I heard it was and
well,
it wasn't.
They have been receiving code violation citations.
Yeah, and the first complaint was it was messy.
It's debris and
the first time I went there.
We're having a meeting to talk about.
It's about a quarter of a block out of my route.
Is it?
And I drove down there, and it wasn't as bad as the guy down at Julie's restaurant told me.
I have photos. I have photos for you if you'd like.
You're talking about the wash machine?
Well, it's
or the tampers.
It's by the pool. It's
I didn't go down to the pool.
Well, that's behind the building. You physically have to enter the property and walk around.
You got it? You got the information?
That's all I know. The phone call.
Who's from? I recognize the name, and I can't put a face with it.
So she wants you to call her.
Oh, that's the lady who moved in with her daughter,
and
she's still complaining about what's this, the health department and sheriff.
Yeah.
She's complaining about Orchard Inn.
Oh, I thought that was the same thing.
No.
All right.
So along with that one, Mercy House, we should have a report on.
What is
you want to know what's going on.
What is the Mercy House?
It's a halfway house up on 119th Street for mental health.
I'm not familiar with that.
I'll check it out.
And then there's several at Heritage Farms on 78th. A couple for WSU, Partners in Career.
What about them?
I want to know what they're doing, how's it working, what's going on.
Okay.
Because they've been there for a while. And like the Abrams House, we don't know.
Well, that's an ongoing program?
I just kind of like to know what they're doing, how they're doing it. I know, and then there's also part of that up there, the food bank.
Mm-hmm.
The food bank. So, you know, we always talk about we want to get back on track and having different departments come up and flaunt their thing and talk about what they were doing. We could probably do that here with that. So they would come up and give us a 15-minute introduction as to what they're doing and what their plan is.
Okay.
Anyway, you guys all got to take a look at them. I thought they were good. You told us when salary setting was coming, and I don't remember.
I got to prepare the documents. It looks like last time you guys did it, it was in August, so my hope would be, you know, towards the end of August, and it'll be for that position three position.
And when are we coming back to address firework before the news gets too old?
I will bring it back whenever you want. Work session, hearing, whatever.
What are we waiting for?
Well, maybe the last thing you gave us was the everybody in the county
and the cities.
When they could sell, when
cities
they could
and counties.
Ignite.
Yeah, we had that matrix of the cities, what their dates were.
Okay.
We have the precinct by precinct breakdown of the advisory vote. It's just, you know, if you want some other community outreach or something done, but we could bring it back whenever you want.
Do you guys want to meet consensus in here and then put it on the consent agenda?
You recall, where did we leave that? There was some software that we were...
Yes, we've got we've got proposals in. We're putting together a team to evaluate the proposals, so we'll have a purchase decision very shortly. So the product and the company providing the service will be available within probably 2 weeks.
Oh, so then maybe we should have a work session.
So then we can put the survey together, create the online forum, put a press release out, talk about it in consent, advertise to the public that this capability now exists so that we can steer people to that site so we can start getting a feel for how people feel about it.
We also talked about the one about the concealed weapons to do the same thing, if you remember.
Yeah, plus John Dunaway owes us a report. He was to contact all the profits and nonprofits and give us...
Yeah, a lot of that stuff we're looking at making an educated decision.
Correct.
Not a popular one.
Correct.
And we can make that through the information that we're provided. Maybe we can have a consensus in here and then put it on the agenda someday.
Okay.
I want to keep it moving. And then, what were you just said?
Oh, we were talking about doing the same survey with...
With concealed carry.
Weapons.
Did you guys have your interviews with legal?
Not yet.
Oh, I had mine with legal. Have you had yours?
Yep.
Okay. So after you have yours, maybe we'll bring it back to board.
Yeah, I think it would be good for us to be able to have some kind of a plan, timeline, schedule, path ahead anyway, for the fireworks to see that it's moving along.
Public wants to know.
So
when that gentleman comes back, we'll be able to give him a date.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Where we left it, I don't think that staff was waiting for us. I thought we were waiting for staff. We want to make sure we don't end up waiting for each other anymore.
We're waiting for staff.
Well,
I think John can probably... So we got the matrix that tells you everything about the cities. John, I think, was going to do something with the nonprofits who you guys were concerned about. Hey, how will this impact you? Talk with them. Get you a list of who they are and how many they are and where they are. That probably could move pretty quickly. The survey, I think I had forgotten that when I answered earlier. I think we were kind of on pause because Oliver's shop was getting that survey and we were going to maybe do a survey. If you don't want to wait for that, we can schedule something, or we could schedule something beyond that.
I don't want to wait for a survey to
we can
move,
let them know
make
that's
progress
happening.
On
this. This is where we're at now and this is what's happening in the future.
Yes, it would be very good for us to hear from the sheriff's office, very good to hear from the... our fire marshal, and very good to hear from the fireworks sale nonprofits and organizations. That we don't have any of those yet. We need those.
Yeah, and I guess my question would be, how do you want staff to get it, or do you want to get that through a hearing or a public meeting of some sort?
No, I would think that, well...
get the information before you have the public meeting, so you got something to give them.
Well, a public meeting, I think, is when we put it on the agenda.
Yeah.
We've had two public meetings on fireworks, I think.
We had a work session this last spring, I think, is the only one we've had.
And then we actually talked about it on the consent agenda.
Oh, I think only people brought
it up. Yeah, it was public testimony.
Oh, okay.
People just bought it.
Yeah.
So the policy that we need to weigh is the impact on the community financially, negatively, and in consideration to be somewhat uniform with all other entities. That's kind of what I was searching for. But the input from the sheriff and fire marshal would be good. And I don't know whether we want them to come to board time or just give us a written information or pass it through Axel.
As for me, I feel like I would be, as part of my own homework, it's just me as a single person.
You don't have
would be to have, I want to have a conversation with John Dunaway. I want to have a conversation with the sheriff's office. And I want to be able to hear from the nonprofits. There aren't that many. So that's the homework. That's my action item to-do list.
Okay.
I want to be able to make sure that we have the clear matrix of the A and the B, the selling versus the setting off of all the jurisdictions, all that in front of us, and compile that.
Okay.
I'll work with Anna to arrange individual conversations, so that'll do my work. And what will come out of that will be hopefully a clarification on their part that would indicate whether or not they want to come up with some kind of a written letter that they can share with us that would give us guidance. Anytime you have an active two-way conversation, it kind of helps clarify the thoughts in both brains. And
we do still have the testimony that Leanne Bremer offered at the work session on behalf of her clients, and that had some pretty good, mm-hmm. I think, clear points in it about where we may go.
I can accept mine probably in writing, my information. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do a one-on-one, we probably should push you into that right away.
Yep. I'll do it.
And if you want written documentation or interviews, and we schedule interviews with the same people with you.
I would just soon talk to the people in person.
Yeah.
Written stuff for me, and then get these other guys coordinated. Book them good.
So we'll do homework individually, and then come back to mm-hmm. a board time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would guess it would take a couple weeks.
Okay, I have one item. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you first. Sir.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna leave right quick.
Okay.
They have a little difficulty with Bruce going, but I just wanted to bring up to the other two commissioners, since this is the only time we get to talk together, tell you that I was a little disappointed in how the situation worked out yesterday morning about the vote on the East County Bridge, with not having the opportunity to look at the document, and I read in the paper where Tom basically told the reporter that I was against it anyway, so it seemed like the article said that I wasn't entitled to have a copy of the resolutions before.
You said that?
You said that in the meter.
Yeah. So, anyway,
as you told me before the meeting, you were against it.
Well, sure, but that doesn't say that I'm not entitled to have the paperwork on anything that takes place between the three of us commissioners. I mean, we're a three board commission, mm-hmm. and I should have the opportunity to have that stuff ahead of time so I can look at it. I might even want to make some suggestions to change the resolution, but I never got that opportunity either. So I think that's important that we communicate backwards and forwards, just like we did on this other thing right there that you got in your hand we have an opportunity to look at it and evaluate it, and maybe there's some good points, maybe there's bad points in it. But I didn't even get a chance to talk about the good points or bad points either, and that was disappointing, especially after Tom had Red Skelton do his skit, and then the minister was there doing his thing, and I don't think that we paid attention to either one of them, what they brought out the point about having people have a fair shot, and then David brought up afterwards that we should be working together. Well, that's not working together, Tom.
Because you've told me on many, many occasions you were against
the East Side Bridge.
You're not very supportive of the East Side Bridge.
Right, but that doesn't say that I'm not entitled to have the paperwork
that everybody else gets as a commissioner.
And you got it the same time I did.
Yeah. Then we didn't have time to study it. We could have held that off for another week or another 2 weeks. Had everybody had a chance to get it, it would have still been time to put it on the ballot, time to get it in the voter's pamphlet, all the rest of the stuff that goes with it. So, like I say, in the future, fellow commissioners, okay. I'm asking you as an individual that I'd like to see it as a commissioner. I'd like to see the paperwork.
And I would ask that you do the same respect on the CTRAN board with us.
Right. I don't get anything. Everything David asked me, for everything that had to do with CTRAN, I told him everything I had. Didn't I, David?
No, I'm just saying.
I didn't withhold nothing. I didn't withhold anything from him.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm saying when things are brought up and given to us at the last minute, it happens every month, at least support us and give us time to look at it.
Let me respond, because certainly I respect that. That's a healthy, good process. That was a lot of work to pull together. The presentation on Friday, and then the resolution on Tuesday, and to both resolutions, because one put it on the ballot, and that did not exist until that morning, and because I was working on it. Well, and I didn't finish it. So Tom got it when you got it.
Yeah, but he didn't even have a chance to even know what he was voting on either, David.
Actually, we got it, about 20 minutes ahead of time, which is way too short. But I'll tell you why. And I never want – Russian policy is not a good idea. You always want to take time to do it. But we do have a deadline here. The deadline to put that on is August 5. And if anything goes wrong, or if somehow the prosecuting attorney's office needs to somehow change something, whatever, we need to allow them to be able to do that. And I'm sorry we were up against the clock on that, but that's why we had to hurry up and get it done. So Tom got it when you got it, just about, 20 minutes before the meeting. I'm sorry for the delay, but it was up against the clock. And it's because the election calendar, just there's no mercy in that calendar.
So anyway,
the point I'm making is We are going to pass that respect along to each other, that we do that on other meetings also, and I understand that.
Good to go.
I'm done.
Okay, you might want to hear this, Commissioner Barnes, and I'll be very brief. Down the street by the share house in 2015, March, they are going to begin construction of Lincoln Place Apartments, and that is
heard that.
And that is good news for us. It'll help us with our issues down in the plaza in the front of the building. They have a draft of a good neighbor agreement here, and they are proposing that I be a member of the good neighbor committee.
Isn't that an expansion of share or?
Yeah, it is.
Open House Ministries.
Open House Ministries is involved. It's a multi-agency group. It's got the City of Vancouver, Hauk Neighborhood Association, the Vancouver Downtown Association, Vancouver Affordable Housing, business representatives from Lincoln, Vancouver Police Department, and so on and so forth. And they're asking for me to be the county's representative.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So that we can meet once or twice.
Great.
Do you know anything about the operation of it?
As I understand it, there will be like a day room on the ground floor, and there'll be residential.
You know, I mean, as to
same
who,
as
how it's
same
funded.
As what's existing down there now. Same as existing. They've already asked us to come forward with the volunteer wiring.
Share is funded differently than Open House Ministries.
Right.
And I support Open House Ministries because of that.
Can I
support them all.
Yeah, they're wonderful. Can I back up for a minute? I want to bring a little bit more clarification when it comes to the resolutions that were passed. I want to clarify that a little bit. The presentation that we had on Friday, that was a lot of really good input, not only from on the East County Bridge, not only from the presenters, but also from those electeds that participated, and also those citizens that communicated afterwards to be able to take all of that input and then to factor that in, so that extra insight helped to formulate that resolution. And that was a lot of work that was in process in my, it was my on my action item to finish. So it wasn't in ready to present until all of that working really hard until that morning. And so, yeah, it existed in draft form, but it changed a lot with that insight. And finally, there's no mercy in the clock. Got to get it done before the meeting. And I was so glad to finally get it done. I know the prosecuting attorney's office was in Mark's office. Prosecuting attorney was in Mark's office, going over at the last minute to make sure we're ready to present that. So it was the idea is present, factor all that input in, and get it ready. And
we either still had time for another meeting next week before.
You know, we potentially could have held it off one more week, but I never want to do the very last thing at the very last minute and find out that something went wrong and we missed our opportunity. So I'm conservative.
Okay, right.
And this is too big of an too important to miss the opportunity. Yeah, but you're right though. When it comes to taking the time to do our homework and don't rush policies, that's just good business. And I always support you. And if any of us get to the point where we have some kind of deadline, we got to get something done, that's understandable. And we'll accommodate that as best we can. But good policy, take the time so we can all make sure we understand what's
in it. More importantly, it was not intentional.
No, it wasn't intentional. It was like...
So they're punching another hole in Bruce's chest right now. So.
But for now.
Oh, okay. We're with you on that. Yeah.
Let's do here. This is the new thing. That's
okay.
We don't press germs on.
Okay. Are we done?
It's up to the chair, but
yes. Oh,
chair.
Anything else?
I think that's all. Holly?
I'm good.
Okay. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
I was done. I was just too lazy to get up.